Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is a daf Ayin Beit, and we're holding on. The truth is, we're really holding on the top of Ayin Beit, but I just want to go over with you again. These are rather complex sugyas, and we're still holding in the middle of the question of the interrelationship of the Shituf in the Mavoi to the Eruv in the Chatzar. And as we pointed out yesterday, there are different functions that the Eruv in the Chatzar provides, and the question is, which of those functions, if any, would provide the equivalent for a Mavoi, and which Shituf in a Mavoi would provide the equivalent functions of an Eruv. So we learned some fascinating dinim yesterday, which is that one of the important factors that the Chazal take into consideration in the takona of the interrelationship of these things is how familiar the children are going to end up being with the dinim of Erev. Because since the whole takona of Erev is in order to establish the nature of the different rishuyas in people's minds, and the easier that we make it for people to carry from one place to another, the more likely it is that they're going to forget the entire concept of the chiluk of rishuyas. A part of the consideration that we have is what will be the impact on people growing up in these types of chatzeras, which will give us a generation where they were not involved in the trick-or-treating for preparing for the Erev, and therefore it really won't make much of an impression on them. They won't be aware of the fact that there was an Erev if we don't force them to be ma'arev also in the chatzar, which is a fascinating insight. It's actually important to take that into consideration together with the way the Rambam understands or introduces the entire idea of Erevin, which is that he makes it very clear that there's really two different levels of our understanding of Erevin. Once we have the takana of Erevin, you see, then we can talk about the way that Chazal were makbid on the relativity of Rishuyos across the board. So in other words, a house relative to a chotzer is like a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRab. A chotzer relative to a mavui is like a Rishus HaYochid as compared to Rishus HaRabim. And a mavui relative to a Rishus HaRabim is forces us to insist that it be noticeably a Rishus HaYochid and therefore to asid Rishus HaRabim. However, as the Rambam explains the Iker Takona of Erevin, it didn't start that way. That is an outgrowth of how it is that we attempted to deal with the issue. The issue begins only with the most egregious kind of problem, and that is from the fact that when you carry out from an area that's Rishus HaYochid, let's say it's a Chotzer or a Mavui, and you walk into a city that has a cardo, basically, has this large area which would have been Rishus HaRabim, but isn't, because basically the city is closed, the doors close at night or whatever it is, then you will make the mistake. This is how the Rambam understands the entire takana. You will make the mistake over there because, I mean, anybody can make that mistake. The difference between private areas and public areas. Remember, a mavui is not really a public area because it's not open to the whole world to walk into. If we want to, we could put up a gatehouse and make sure that only people that have a pass are able to come into our private alleyway and so on. So that wouldn't have forced us to make the takana in the first place. But what does force us to make the takana in the first place is where you're walking into a truly public area. It would have been a Rishus HaRabim. It's full of stores. It's a shopping plaza, so on and so forth. The only problem is it isn't really a Rishus HaRabim because it's got, you know, two walls or because the city is closed, whatever the idea is. And people will obviously, and this is, I mean, you could see yourself making this mistake, that if I'm allowed to carry from an area that was a private area into something that's open to the whole world, whoever wants to comes in here and shops from all over the place, then what would be the difference between my going out of a back door into an area where there's a highway or something like that? It's exactly the same. That's what I would think. That was what required the initial protection. Once we already needed to deal with that initial protection, so that forced us into making the original takana of Erev, which then led us to deeper and deeper understandings of the way in which Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYochid are, first of all, broader than just that. We added the two additional Rishuyas. and we gave this din to Karfaf and Carmelit and so on, instead of just allowing things to be a basically binary question of either it's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, or it's nothing, it would just be a Mokum Patur, we changed all of that, and that was a very important step. And then we got more and more into the details, which included the diurim and the level of privacy and the tsura of how it's shaped. Is it shaped like a public area? Or it's shaped like a private area? Is it square? Is it long, elongated, and so on? And so all of those issues that we spoke about before, those are outgrowths of the original need to make the differentiation. And making that differentiation brought us into greater and greater understanding of the details of that differentiation. In the end, it comes to include the usage of the area. In the end, it comes to include what the original purpose was in the construction of the area. It comes to include the size of the area, not only the shape of the area. That was the union of the Beit Sa'a. It comes to include also the way in which we'll apply various dinim of semi-mechitzas or virtual mechitzas. All of this is part of Erev. Now, the reason that I bring this out today is because we are about to engage in a whole new area of Erevin, which is to recognize that there are gradations in the requirement for Erevin, something that we never recognized before, which we will be getting to today. And those gradations will impact both the nature of the mechitzos and shape of the area in which you live, and will also be nogea the extent of the interrelationship, something that we started on yesterday and we're in the middle of now, the extent of the relationship in terms of a business relationship, in terms of one kli or two kli, is it the same type of thing, is it different types of things? This was all the beginning of yesterday's sugya. And that, from there, led us into the question of, okay, how integrated are we by just making a shituf in a mavoi, and what would its impact be on the Erev and the Chotzer? And that was what we're in the middle of discussing. Now, again, there may be different aspects. So we talked about, once again, please, these are so central. It's worthwhile paying close attention, recognizing that every Erev always serves two functions, really. There's the Erev, which allows the interrelationship of the homes together with the chatzar in which the homes are located. Then there's an extension of the idea of Erev, which is moving from one chatzar to another chatzar, which I'm able to do as long as there's some basic relationship between, maybe even just a window that opens between the two chatzeras through which I can actually integrate our chatzeras through an Erev. And that would allow me to carry from one type of private area, a chatzer private area, into another type of private area, a chatzer private area, but with other diurim. So I can mix those diurim. Now, if you extend that concept and you talk about, okay, five chatzeras in a row that all have doors between them, and that then I'm going to mix my Erev with all of those chatzeras, then for all intents and purposes, have I not done exactly the same thing that a shituf and a mavoi would do? Because if these are the only five chatzeros that open up into that mavoi, so then if I've made all of the chatzeros one, I'm allowed to carry from one chatzer all the way to the fifth chatzer through the doors, right? So what's the difference if I carry through the doors or I carry through the front door, go around the alley, and come around and go into the last chatzer? That's the question of shituf actually already being served by the furthest purposes of an Erev that incorporates all of the chatzeras. So would the Erev chatzeras do exactly the same thing for you as the shituf mavo'ot? Then the opposite would be a more complex issue. The function that is served of an Erev being extended into other chatzerot is basically what a mavui, a shituf b'mavo'ot is about, right? Because we integrate all of the different chatzerot that open into the mavui, and we say, so now all of you people using this mavui are one happy family. Now, if we're one happy family in the shituf of the mavui, so wouldn't we be able to carry as one happy family through the door between our two chatzeros in the same way that we carry through the front door? If I'm allowed to go out my front door of the chatzer, walk along the alley, and come into the fifth door down, which is another chatzer all the way at the end of the alley street, why can't I just walk through the various chatzeras the same way I could have walked through the front door? So would I still need an Erev in the chutzner, transferred from one chutzner to the other in order to allow me to do something I can do anyway? That's the question. But then there's a further question. If I can do that, and I'm already willing to see myself as integrated in the chutzner, because of the fact that the chatzeras are integrated through the front door in the mavui, would that be the full equivalent of an Erev, even for its primary purpose, which is to carry from the house into the chatzer? Now, you would say, but isn't the house into the chatzer the most fundamental problem of Erev? And that's why I introduced you today to the idea that as the Rambam describes this, the answer to that is no. Surprisingly, the interrelationship of the house to the chatzer, which to us, because of the presentation, or actually not because of presentation, because the presentation begins with the mavui and actually fits the Rambam's development, but simply because of the way that psychologically our mind presents it to us in terms of a gradation from going from a private home into your chatzer, from the chatzer into a mavui, from the mavui into shesharavim. So we made the mistake of thinking that that would be the essence. And it appears that there are those who learn that this is the essence and that there never was a chance that we were considering that a sheet of mavos would actually enable you to carry from your house into a chatzer in the event that you didn't make an Erev. We were only thinking that it would allow you to carry from one chatzer to another chatzer. Okay. Remember that that question of carrying from one chatzer to another chatzer is also related to the idea of the way that we separated rishuyos by usages, which was a big machlokas, the Chachamim Rabbi Shimon. Are all the rooftops in an area one? Are all the karfefas in an area one? Can I carry from somebody's roof into a karfaf and from a karfaf into a chatzer? That was the machlokas that we had about how we view usage as defining separate rishuyos. But if the Rambam's presentation is to be taken seriously, and that means that in the initial understanding of what forced us into Erevin was not the problem of homes to chatzer, nobody would have thought that a home to a chatzer is the same thing as carrying from a Rishus HaYochid into a true Rishus HaRabim. It's an extension of our need to define those separate Rishuyos. So now, in accordance with that, once I've dealt with the Shituf Mavui problem, and note that the Shituf Mavui problem is the main way that we are going to be dealing, let's say nowadays, a contemporary issue. We're going to make an Erev that will include the entire city, right? So if it includes the entire city, we're really doing a Shituf Mavos. So now the question is, does that Shituf Mavos make it possible for each one of us to also carry, let's say, in our apartment building? Can we carry from our homes into the hall of the apartment building, in which the hall in the apartment building would be the equivalent of a chatzer? The various homes are obviously more private than that hall, and then going down the elevator and so on and so forth. So how is it that the city's Erev allows us to also walk out of our homes into a chatzer, if there wasn't an Erev that was made locally from the home into the chatzer? Now, this is exactly the issue that we're talking about today. And so, in the same way that we had the question of the purpose, there's also the question of the modality. How is the Erev made? Is the Erev made through a collection of things that kids would note, which would mean collecting bread, or is the Erev made through putting your wine together, which the kids really don't have any connection to? So that was also a question we talked about yesterday. And it turns out that this is a big machlokas. So we started off with the understanding that we've got this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Basically, we're not clear what that machlokas is, but all we know is that it does say over here that the Rabbi Meir says you need to make both a shituf and an Erev, and you can't just get away with one of them. Now, we're really not sure how far he's taking that. Is he taking that even where you made it with bread, or only where you made, let's say, the shituf with wine, and therefore it wasn't good enough for the Erev? That wasn't clear. And today, we want to go more into that question. What exactly was the machlokas? So the last thing that we had yesterday was we set over the machlokas. And it turned out there were two separate issues. One was ma'arve b'chatzeros b'pat, v'im ratzu la'arev b'yayin, you can't use yayin. you're mishtatfim b'movoi b'yayin, but if you want to use pot, you could. But you need to do both ma'arvin b'chatzeros and shituf b'movoi in order shelo l'shakeach torat eruv min atinokot. Because kids that grow up there, if they don't see you doing this, they will say, well, we never saw our forefathers being ma'arev, so we don't need to either. That was Rabbi Meir's opinion. It certainly has seemed on the surface that Rabbi Meir was saying that there are never any circumstances in which you could substitute or subsume one Erev in the other, not the Erev in the Chatzer for the Shitaf in the Mavoi, and not the Shitaf in the Mavoi for the Erev in the Chatzeres. Whereas the Chachomim say, you can do either one. O Ma'arvin, O Mishtatfim. So today we want to get into understanding more deeply what the extent of the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim is. And therefore, let us start again on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Pligi ba Revi Rechume and Rabba. What exactly is the Machlokas? Chanamar bepat kuleyam ablo pligi de bechadasaki. If you would have done your mshitof mavos with bread, or you do your Erev with bread, then of course, that for sure, you would be doing the same thing. Well, I mean, if you're collecting with bread, Rabbi Meir would also agree. Everything is fine because you use the higher level of Erev, and therefore would be okay. The only machlokas is when we're talking about Yayin. So you did a Shituf in the Mavoi with Yayin. There, Rabbi Meir is saying, you cannot rely on that because that wine would not have been good for the Chatzar. So how can you use the wine in the Mavoi to achieve something in a Chatzar that would not have been valuable in the Chatzar? Whereas the Chachomim say, everything is relative. Relative to the Mavoi, the wine is sufficient. And remember that the issue over there was the question of what the whole point is of the Erev. If the Erev is the interrelationship of living quarters, which is the point of an Erev in a Chatzar, so then you need bread because people live where their food is. If the interrelationship is public space interrelating, so people sit down and they'll have a cup of coffee or a cup of wine and so on the street in a, under a nice gazebo, and everything is fine. They don't view that as something that isn't connecting them. It connects them beautifully. The question is, can I substitute something that is useful in its location, wine for the mavoi, to say that essentially all of us are joined, albeit all of us are joined only through wine, but that worked where it was, and therefore it now reflects back to subsume the interrelationship between the Chatzeros. That was the way that one, either Ravi Rechumi or Rabba said. We don't know who said what, but that was one approach. Now, the other approach was, V'chadomar, on the contrary, if you only used wine, the Rabbanan would never say you could have used the wine in the Mavoi to achieve the Erev in the Chatzar. How could you do something in a Mavoi that would be more useful than if you did it in the Chatzar itself? That doesn't make any sense. And there, for sure, you need to do both the Erev and the Shituf separately. The Machlokas, according to this approach, is Dafka if you used bread. So this is two very different approaches. Meitve. The Chachamim Omrim. So here we have a Kasha on one of these approaches, namely the Chachamim Omrim. Oma Arvim, let's take a look at the Lashon. The Braita said, the Chachamim say you can choose to do either a Shituf or a Mavoi. You don't need to do both. So aren't they saying you can use either the typical Erev, meaning with the bread, or you can use the typical Shituf, which is with the wine? And therefore, they are saying that it's not true what you're saying, namely, that according to one of these mandiyam, either Rav Chumi or Rabba, that the Chachamim or Meida, you certainly can't use wine in a Shituf to be able to subsume the bread needed for the Chatzar. And here it says, it seems to be saying anyway, that you could be Mishtatev, the normal Shituf, meaning with wine, and that would be good enough for the Mavoi. Says Rav Gidl Amarav, no, absolutely not. They could simply be saying that either you have your choice. You can either be ma'ariv in the chatzer with bread. And if you got all the chatzeres involved in that, then there'd be no point in doing a separate shituf in the mavoi because you've already achieved that. That would be one option. And your other option would be that you could be mishtatfim in the mavoi. But of course, you'd have to use bread. And we said you could use bread, just don't have to use bread. But if you're trying to achieve a subsuming of the dinim of the chatzer with the mavoi, then you would be only able to do that if you use bread. So what we mean is, or you could be mishtatef in the mavoi, of course, with pot. And then, too, you would be mutarim kan v'kan. So then it doesn't tell us clearly which approach is correct in the machlokas between Rav Chumi and Rabba. Omer Rav Yudah Omer Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Meir, we paskin like Rabbi Meir, and therefore when we say we paskin, it means that that is the absolute halacha. We darshan it, we'll darshan that way in the tzibuk and the kalal drushes and so on and so forth, the Shabbos drushes. Everybody should know you can't get away with using one for the other. Of course, it isn't quite clear over here whether we're talking about that you need both the Erev and the Shitaf in order to be Matir, even if you use pot, or we're talking about if you're using wine. That much doesn't come clear over from the Psak. Furthermore, Ravuna says, we never said the Halacha is like Rabbi Meir. We said the Minag is like Rabbi Meir, which means if somebody comes, as we said earlier, if somebody comes and asks you what the Halacha is, you could tell them, well, the Minag is to do like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, actually, we do not paskin like Rabbi Meir, and there is not even a reliable minag like Rabbi Meir. What we said over here was nahagu ha'am k'Rabbi Meir. There are lots of people that are knowing that way without any real basis, which means I cannot use that as a basis to paskin. I certainly don't teach people that that's the halacha. And even if somebody asks me, I don't say, well, there are those who are knowing like Rabbi Meir. I don't say that either. Because you have to make a decision, la halacha, what you hold. But this is certainly not something that was paskin la halacha. In fact, aliba the halacha, at least for the Ashkenazim, the way that the Rama paskins, we actually are able to use either shituf or eruv, which is the reason that in modern cities, in fact, we have exactly the problem that the Gemara talks about, which is kids have absolutely no idea that there was an eruv that was made. And, I mean, the Rama brings in his terms, in his times, that what they would used to do would be they would collect flour from all of the people, and then everybody gave a little bit of flour. Out of that flour, they would make bread, or actually matzah, so it wouldn't be a problem, it would be long-lasting, and they would make that as the Erev and Shita for the city in which they were making the Erev. Nowadays, they use matzah, and they're Mizaka people, and being Mizaka people gets around the problem of everybody giving and the kids going trick-or-treating, but it also creates the problem, which nobody deals with, of how in the world are the Tinoko supposed to know that you need to have an Erev. So what they used to do, Gavi could see this in Tzfat, in the Beit HaKnesset of the Ari, that up on the wall, on the left of the, or on the right, I think, of the Aron, there's a big box, and they used to do this in Europe a lot. There's a big box that says Eruv, and it has in it matzah, so there won't be a problem of Chometz BePesach. And that way, everybody who comes to Shul sees the fact that there was an Eruv that was collected from everybody, and the kids will all ask, what the heck is that? And so they'll understand that there was an Eruv. Did you ever notice that box, Gav? In the, go take a look at that.
I have to go take a look.
Yeah, it's a little bit out of the way, but,
It's on the far left.
It's the far left, is it? Okay. Anyway, so I'm assuming it's still there. It's been there for the past 100 years. It should continue to be there. Okay. Things don't change quickly in Tzfat. All right. Nachi's saying he's seen that in several places. So, yeah, that was the standard minhag. Okay, and now we are ready for the words of our kapitan. And let us begin the next sugya.
Just as a side point, in the shul, my daughter's yeshuv in the Beit Daniel, there's a very prominent package of matzah in the cabinet that you come into the Beit Knesset.
Ah, okay.
I'll be prominent. Anyway, zot the heilige Mishnah.
Great. All right, so we're going to be entering now into two Mishnayos that are going to be dealing with subtleties that we haven't spoken about before. And those subtleties, as I've said, the Masechet continues to evolve in terms of the subtleties of the issues that we need to take into consideration in having a clear concept of the space in which we live. One of those issues that we never really talked about before at all is what actually defines a separate living unit. You'll notice that the Mishnah earlier, at least according to many of the Rishonim, for the first time, utilized the word living unit instead of a house. Instead of saying buy it, Rashi actually thought that the meaning was for the Goren, right? So a gur, that is to say, a place where people live. The reason that the Mishnah does this is indeed to open up our minds to the fact that one of the fundamental points of Eruv has not really been well defined. And that is what constitutes a separate living unit. So there's another question, however, as well. What constitutes another diur unit? Because diur is not by it. Diur is inhabitation. And do different members of the same family, let's say, that get together every week to eat in one table, do they need an Erev if they have separate homes? What exactly constitutes separate diurim? So there's two questions. What's the diur and what is the construction that gives us a separate bayit? So this Mishnah begins with the question of construction. So suppose you've got, this happens very often. You've got this big, people rent out this big place for Shabbos, and you've got different groups are in this big place for Shabbos. So there's chamisha chaburot, let's say, and they're all in this giant vacation home, a truckland or a mansion that they're all staying in. And, of course, you haven't defined what exactly did you put up between each of these chaburas, and that's what we're going to be discussing. I mean, is this like, did you put up room dividers, or did you put up actual curtains, and how high are the curtains? All of these questions we need to think about. So Beit Shammai says, listen, every single one of those chaburot are going to need an Erev. Now, obviously, that's got to mean that each one of these chaburot had an exit into the chotzer. Otherwise, we get into the whole problem of the pnimis and the chitzone, if the chitzone is ma'ariv. So Rashi says we're talking about a case where they all have their access, which Tosus agrees to. And the question is the fact that they're all integrated because they're within one overall construction, which is the house, and whatever it is that's making them separate is certainly not as powerful a construct as the actual shape of the house and the concrete walls that include them. So according to Beit Shammai, you're going to need an Erev for each group separately, whereas Beit Hillel says, well, the fact that they are all, this is a different type of subsuming. Remember, all that we've been discussing now is subsuming. Subsuming the Erev Chatzeres in the Shituf, or subsuming the Shituf in the Erev Chatzeres. Subsuming a lot of different people under one roof as if they're one, and which is part of the whole idea or not. So according to Beit Hillel, they're all subsumed by the giant home or this hall that they're all staying in. And because of that, they can carry from one to the other. They don't need an Erev between themselves. And if they don't need to make an Erev between themselves, so then they are essentially one household to join up an Erev that might be required on the outside, assuming that there's other people on the outside. And Modim, however, Beit Hillel agrees that if you have some of them in rooms or some of them on a second story, that then certainly each one has a din of a special Erev. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that the Mishnah cannot be talking about literally in separate rooms and separate stories, because that's a given. I mean, that's an absolutely a childish kind of thing to teach in a Mishnah. I mean, why would I think that you could subsume? That would be like saying that since all of the rooms in the motel are under one roof and they're all connected through the office, I mean, that's ridiculous. Each one is a completely separate unit with its own entryway into the parking lot. And we've spoken about that kind of situation many times. Of course, you need to have an Erev over there. So the Gemara is going to say it doesn't mean that they're literally different rooms. It means that they are separated in a way that is more similar to an actual room, and then we'll have to discuss what exactly does that mean. Okay, so now the question is, the Mishnah has left open the main point. The main point is, what exactly separated these groups? I understand what joins these groups, the big roof over everybody. But how much of a separation is there in each group from the other? You didn't say. So says Reb Nachman, look, I mean, the machlokas over here is when you have a mesifas. A mesifas is a very, very low-class divider. It usually consists of low pieces of wood or some bricks or something that you put between the different chaburas, and there's no real mechitza at all. That's the point. But if you put in room dividers, and the room divider was 10 tvachim high, which is the definition of a mechitza, so then everybody would agree. I mean, Beis Hillel is not coming to change your definition of a mechitza, is he? So I say, says Reb Nachman, that Beis Hillel would also agree that an Eruv is necessary for every single chabura. And others say that, no, that's not what Reb Nachman said at all. Reb Nachman said there even is a machlokas in a mesifas, and that even in the case of a mesifas, which is not even 10 tvachim high, that Beit Shammai would still say, you are each considered to be a separate home, and you need to make an Eruv, whether it's to carry between yourselves or whether it's to carry into a chotzer in which there are others. Now, that is explanation or machlokas one in the understanding of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. But there's another machlokas that seems to go way beyond this question, and that is, forget about the material. Does the mechitza actually separate them, or is it like toilet stalls? I mean, it's like toilet stalls. It doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling. If it doesn't go all the way up to the ceiling, then nobody views that kind of thing as a real separation between groups. And that's the next machlokas. So we have a machlokas between Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Bar Revi. One said, again, unfortunately, we don't know who said what, so we'll have to keep referring to this sugya in terms of what rather than who. But one of them said, the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only where whatever the low-quality mechitza was, let's say it's just a flimsy curtain, but it was a flimsy curtain that went all the way up to the roof and separated the two groups, or the five groups in this case. But if the curtains don't go all the way up to the ceiling, so then everybody agrees, even Beit Shammai would agree. I mean, for sure over there, you would subsume all of the groups under the same ceiling because, I mean, you literally see the other groups through the break in the top. You don't, it doesn't even occur to you when you're inside your area that you are in a separate room. You understand that you're in a private, office cubicle. If you're in an office cubicle, you are very profoundly and uncomfortably aware of the fact that there's a bunch of other people in the same room. That's exactly what's going on over here. So for sure, you would all be considered to be one and the same. That's what one sheet is. So then if the mechitzas reach the ceiling, there's nothing to discuss. Whereas the other one, either Reb Chiya or Reb Shimon Bar Revi said, that on the contrary, the machlokas is dafka where these are cubicles. But if they're not cubicles, then a separation of one area from another area that doesn't reach to the ceiling, everybody agrees that, if it does go all the way to the ceiling, then everybody would agree that even Beis Hillel would agree. You certainly need a separate Eruv for each one of these chaburas. Okay, so now we've got Tanoim here that are arguing, and then we have the Amoroim that are arguing. Neither of them are quoted exactly by the name for us to be sure who holds what. So, we really appreciate your location there, Gavi. Keep it up, man. So, Meisve. Let's take a look at the price. I'm Reb Yehuda HaSabar. So, Reb Yehuda, it was very, Rashi learned Sabar means the bright one, the guy who had really an ingenious mind, so they called him HaSabar, the one who understood things. There's many other approaches and different yourselves. Lo nech l'go Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al mechitzot ha-megiot l'tikra. There was no question. If those curtains went all the way up to the ceiling, you definitely need an Erev for every single one. The only machlokas is, where did Beit Hillel say you don't, is if it didn't get all the way up to the ceiling. So if it didn't get all the way up to the ceiling, so then you're in a cubicle. And Beit Hillel says, look, a cubicle is enough for you to know that you're a separate Rishos. And because of that, since your cubicle has a separate exit to the Chatzar, so you would need to make an Erev with the people in the Chatzar individually. But if the Bechitzas do not get up to the Tikra, so over there, The Beit Shammai says, You need an Erev for every single Chabura anyway, whereas Beit Hillel says, no, in that case, if you know you're in a cubicle, so then according to Beit Hillel, it's enough to have one Erev for all. Now, the question is, how does this Braita reflect on the other Shitas that we mentioned before? Because the Braita essentially is getting it straight from the source. So the Mandi Omar, remember, in the Mishnah, we were confused. Are we talking about Mechitzota Megiot LaTikra, or are we talking about She'ena Megiot LaTikra? Okay, so the way that we learned it before, who said that the Machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is talking about where the Mechitzas are Megiot LaTikra. I mean, this is clearly saying absolutely not. It says if the Mechitzot are Megiot LaTikra, then the idea, according to this Baisa, is that even Beis Hillel is made it. Like, all the way to Tikra, it's certainly separate. So then that would be a tiyufta for the Amora, whoever it was, who was saying that Beit Hillel says, even in a case where it's Megiot to Tikra, you don't need an Erev between them. Now we seem to have dumped that. If the Megiot to Tikra, apparently Beit Hillel would agree. So that's one tiyufta. We can dump that approach, okay? According to the Mandi Omar, who said that the Mechitzot, She'ein Magiot LaTikra, is the whole Machlokas. Okay, so then this Braita shows that that is correct, which was the last Pshat that we had. We had four different Pshatim. The first Lashon Reb Nachman, the second Lashon Reb Nachman, and then we had the Machlokas about whether it's Magiot LaTikra or Ein Magiot LaTikra, whether it's talking about a Mesifas or only where it's a Mechitza Asara. So those were our four Lashon. Let's dump the first shot of Reb Nachman as well, because Reb Nachman, who is saying that the whole Machlokas is only where you've got this Mesifas, I mean, obviously, this can't be true, because according to what that was saying, then it would mean that Beis Hillel would agree that if you had a Mechitza of Asara, oh, then already you're in a separate cubicle, you need a separate Erev. That's not true. It says over here that Beis Hillel would hold even with a 20-foot high wall, if it doesn't come all the way up to the top of the ceiling, that it's still not going to be Mechai of a separate Erev. So we can dump that pshat too. Okay, so now we've gotten rid of two of the alternative pshat. The question is, according to the other Lashon was that Reb Nachman had said, no, they're arguing across the board, and they're even arguing about a Machlokes, with the Mesifas, as well as the other pshat where you have a Mechitza Vasara. On the surface, I mean, this Braita seems to be throwing that out as well. Because, I mean, it's mashma that the Machlokas over here is that if there was only something that was junky that was separating them, you know, then it wasn't the real Mechitza. So everybody would agree, even Beit Shammai, that one Erev is enough. No, says Reb Nachman, not necessarily. In this Lashon that quotes me, I could tell you that it doesn't mean they're arguing only in the Mesifas. They're arguing in two cases. They're arguing of a real Mechitza, and they're even arguing with the Mesifas. The reason that we don't mention the case of the Mesifas with these Tanoim and the Braisa, the reason that they wanted to put in the Mechitza with the question of whether it's Magiot LaTikra or not, that is to tell me you should know. Beit Hillel is so makel that even if you've got a 20-foot high curtain, it doesn't get all the way to the roof. Afal Pikein, you do not need an Erev between you guys. And if you're going to join an external Erev, one Erev is good for all of you together. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't we do it the other way around? We could say, let's quote the Machlokas even about a Mesifas so that everyone will know, and you should know how clear Beit Shammai is lechumra in this issue. And that is that even if you've got this crummy 1 foot high Mechitza that's made out of little pieces of wood or some bricks that you put down on the ground, even that is going to be Mechai of them as separate Erev. Why don't you tell me that? I mean, that's a big Kiddush. True, says the Gemara. You could have said that to teach me how chumur Beit Shammai is. But remember that we have a general rule. Koach de Teira Adif. it always is more meaningful to show that someone was makel than to show that someone was machmir. Because any idiot can be machmir. It doesn't mean he's really clear about what he's saying. He may be totally confused as being machmir and saying, well, you can't go wrong. Let's just say it's usher, and then everything is fine. So we always have this halacha that Kohar Dehetera is adif. I'd rather show you where Beit Hillel is makel than show you where Beit Shammai is machmer. So, but it could well be that they argue in both cases. They argue across the board, whether it's masifas or whether it's a real curtain that goes all the way up. So that part isn't clear from here. We still have two possible explanations of the machlokas in the Mishnah over here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Omar, Safta, at yichola litztaref. So Omar of Nachman, Omar Rav, halacha k'Reb Yehuda HaSabar. We actually paskin like Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar. And therefore, the halacha would be that, obviously, I mean, if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar, it's got to be with the way that, from Nachman is saying this, it's got to be with the second shot in Reb Nachman, because Reb Nachman can't be going according to the first definition of Reb Nachman, because we just use Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar to show that Reb Nachman was wrong if you took the first one. So obviously it means Reb Nachman here going like that approach. Om Reb Nachman by Yitzchak, you can actually see this in the Mishnah. I mean, it seems to be clear if you're really careful about the Mishnah, because it says in the Mishnah that if they're actually in separate rooms or in separate stories, right? So, Mishnatan Shuruyim B'chadarim U'Baliyot, everybody agrees you need an Eruv for each Chabura, even Beit Hillel. Now ask yourself, what does that mean? When we talk about separate rooms and separate stories, I mean, come on, we're not talking about serious rooms that the house was built with these rooms and serious second story. There's a staircase and that people live on the second story. I mean, that's absurd. If you're talking about chadarim mamash, and aliyot means aliyot mamash, I mean, isn't it rather obvious that everybody's got a completely separate house? I mean, it was built that way. It's got to mean that you have things that are more like rooms or things that are more like aliyot. Now, what do you mean more like? The difference would be that it actually is a completely separate area because the mechitzot are magiyot latikra. That's the only thing it could mean. So in other words, what we're talking about over here, we want to talk about separate rooms. Okay, separate rooms mean we have a curtain that goes all the way up to the ceiling. That's a separate room. Obviously, it can't mean a separate room when the house has a solid brick wall between them. I mean, that's given. And when we're talking about a separate story, so we're talking about a bunk bed, basically, or a gallery, right? So over there, you've got this bunk bed, and you put curtains all the way around the bunk bed. It goes all the way up to the ceiling, right? So that would be the equivalent of living in a second story. Can't mean literally that there was a building in the second story. And it says that everybody is maida. Okay, so then if everybody is maida, that only works out according to Rabbi Yehuda HaSabar, that once the mechitzot are magiot to the tikra, that you do have a completely different halacha. Note, by the way, the similarity. Anybody who's learned and is involved in Masechet Sukkah immediately hears the resonances of Kisha, the talking about the fanes magiyos l'schach or enu magiyos l'schach, in terms of how high the schach can be. Anyway, now, the issue until now has only talked about the nature of the construction that separates these separate groups. For the first time, we are now going to be talking about something else, and that is gradations in the Chiyuv of Eruv. And let me point out what those gradations are. There's the internal Eruv, in this case where you have these different groups within the same giant house. Then you have another issue, which is a further extension of that. Supposing you also have people outside, and now they need to make an Eruv. You've got two people living in the Chotzer besides you. That means that the Chotzer already needs an Eruv. And then you've got yet a third question. What happens when you want to join in a way that allows you to carry from this mansion in your chotzer to the next chotzer, and from there to the next chotzer? And that would be the case of my putting an Erev into the rishus of the other chotzer, right? Which we can do. We don't need for everybody to do it. One person can do it. So now the question is the integration of this group, which Beit Hillel is saying is integrated. It may be on different levels. It might be integrated vis-a-vis carrying between themselves, but as far as joining another Erev, once there's a Chiyuv of joining the Erev outside, maybe they're not integrated. And maybe if they needed to join an Erev in a different Chotzer, maybe the different people over there, Beit Shammai would never have said that each one needs to put a separate Erev in the other Chotzer. I mean, I'm just not sure how far in the Dinim of Erevin these distinctions are meant. So now for the first time, we're going to be raising that question. Tana. So in the Braita, it says, where is this entire discussion relevant about whether they're considered because of the type of construction to be one or many? Only in a case where these people have to join another place. So in other words, if there's anyway a need for an Erev in this Chotzer, or I need to join up with another Chotzer, that's where we have the Shita that says, well, they're separate, and they're Kishamolichinet Eruvam L'makom Acher, when they are bringing their Erev, their contribution to a different place, so then we have that Machlokas. But remember that there's also an alternative. If there's other people in the Chotzer, the deal is that you bring your Erev into one of the homes in the Chotzer, right? So suppose everybody else in the Chotzer brings their Erev to this large home. Then that means that the entire Chotzer is relating to this house as the place of the Erev. And remember, we learned before that the house where the Erev is placed does not require its own separate contribution to an Erev, right? So there, in a case like that, and Haya Eruvam Ba Etzlo, so other people are depositing the Erev with them, everybody would agree that this is considered to all be one Erev. And there, when it says that Erev Echad Lekulam, it means they are all part of that single Erev. It doesn't mean that they have to give to an Erev because they don't have to give to an Erev, but it means that that Erev is sufficient for all together and they don't have to worry about anything. So Beit Shammai would agree in terms of these separate types of mechitzas, that it's only benogea, question of the Erev coming to them or going out. But basically, according to this, even Beit Shammai is made that certainly the single house incorporates all of the people that are in it. And it's only if they want to go out to join something else. Okay. It would mean that Beit Hillel holds, if you've got it's important to note the similarity to the normal Dinim of Erev. The normal Dinim of Erev is if you've got, let's say, five homes in a Chotzer, they all joined together in one Erev, that the halacha is when they all join together in one Erev, that any one of them is able, and then is acting on behalf of all of them, is able to take that Erev, deposit it in the next door Chotzer, and we view all of them as now being integrated with both Chatzera. So the question is, are the people that are subsumed not through a joint Erev, but through a joint roof, like the case over here of this Traklin, where everybody is there, is that the equivalent of the idea of Chamesh Batim that have joined in an Erev? So that would be a Machlokas. According to Beit Hillel, if you've got five Batim, one of them can go ahead and do it. Same thing is true in the Mishnah. If you've got five cubicles, then one of them can go for all of them, and that's even if the Chotzer is in the other Ishus. So then there's two issues that are involved. Namely, if I'm going to need to make an Erev, and we need to collect our Erev, and we're going to be putting it elsewhere, so then according to Beit Shammai, you would need to have everybody putting that mishtatev with that Erev outside. It's only where there's no Erev that's outside. That's going to be, even on Libra Beit Shammai, all one thing. Now take a look at this next price, and you'll see very clearly. Netanya. Chamisha shegavu et Eruvan. Keman Oslo. So who is this going according to? Five people are all in separate homes in a Chotzer, and they all come together, and they join in an Erev. if they are bringing their Eruv to another place, they can still have Eruv Echad L'Kulam. Who is this going according to in this version? In this version, it's going only according to Beit Hillel and not Beit Shammai. Because the way that this version is learning is that the machlokas between there being one place or separate places, according to Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, is not a function of the traklin versus the mechitzas. And that according to Beit Shammai, the traklin is a good integration. It's just that Beit Shammai holds even when you have a good integration and you've got five separate houses and they integrated totally with an Erev. Beit Shammai holds that there's no such thing as an integration that allows one to act on behalf of the others. Not in the case of the Traklin, and not in the case of actually having made an Erev between each other. So this is a radical departure from the way that we understand Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the Mishnah. This is an alternative in which they're arguing about the question of how much does an Eruv and or a Rishus integrate. That's why we're saying that in that version, this could only be true according to the Beit Hillel. Because according to Beit Shammai, even if you've got five people that made an Eruv, they would still need to all participate in the next Chotzer in order to extend that Eruv into the next Chotzer. So this is now a completely different point. And Ika de Amri, there is another way of learning that Braita, which says, another issue. When do we say any of this? This is only when the Erev that the other people make in the Chotzer has now been put into this big mansion. So then Beis Hillel is saying that it's all considered to be one since the Erev anyway is in that house, which represents one house in the Chatzar. But if you have to make an Erev because other people are needing to move that Erev into the Chatzar, everybody, even Beit Hillel, would agree, according to this, that you would need a separate Erev for each and every group, even Aliba, the Beit Hillel. And the only nafkamina is if it's in the mansion. That means that according to Beit Shammai, even if the Erev would come into this big mansion, it would still not be good enough to allow them, all of them, to carry from the same place. And based on that, we would have to say, Keman Ozlaha, so then who does the brides are going according to? That says, Chamisha Shagovo et Eruvan Kishamoluch inet Eruvam Lamokam Acher, it's enough to have one Erev for all. In this version, doesn't go according to anybody. Keman Delo Kechad, because here, the way we just understood the Braisa and this Ika de Amri, both agree, being Beit Shammai and both and Beit Hillel, agree that the only possible time that we could view them as being one group is where the Erev was coming into their house. But if they have to bring the Erev outside, then each and every one of them is going to need to make the Erev separately. And then that would mean that Beit Hillel would be saying the same thing that Beit Shammai was saying in the previous version, in which case this doesn't go like anybody, because nobody holds that you're allowed to be Moilich an Erev to a different place in this kind of circumstances. Okay, our next Mishnah, I see we're late, we'll have to wait till tomorrow, but our next Mishnah is going to examine the same type of question about gradations in Erevin, meaning is there a necessary Erev outside of your group? Is there a need to join your group with a different chotzer, so one has to be molich? Or is your group entirely alone in this chotzer, and therefore our only need to determine things is going to be defined by how we define your group? Those are the gradations. And the question that we're going to be raising follows what we've been talking about in the sense that not that it's a different mechitza, but that it's a different level of connectedness. So there are connectednesses that we spoke about before was having a business relationship. There's a connectedness that we have of being able to be mishatef in a mavoi. There's the connectedness of putting everything into a common pot. There's a connectedness of eating together in one place, even though I may have a house in which I sleep separately from the place in which I eat. This is the type of issue which Tosis raises, is nogea yeshiva dorms. What's the halacha where people have different rooms in the dorm and they eat together in a common lunchroom? Okay, we'll be talking about that also. And then we have fascinating new idea, which is, what if they share the same family financially? They don't eat together. They don't live together. They're all separate families, and they all have homes in the same chutzner. But basically, Daddy-O is supporting all of these Kailal boys who have their homes in this chutzner with their separate kitchens and so on. But the money is coming from Daddy. So is that considered to be one big happy family or not in terms of the dinim of Erevin? So we've got a lot of different levels of connectedness. Up until now, we've been talking about the level of connectedness in terms of the structures. Now we're talking about the level of connectedness in terms of that which we have in common and support. So the situation over here was that you have these brothers, they all have their own homes, their own families, and they are all in this chutzner together with the home of the parents. And they all come together to eat. What it seems to be saying, they all come together to eat at the parental home, but they sleep in their own homes. So the din is that nonetheless, they need an Erev for every single one of them separately, which is apparently saying that since they sleep in their own homes, what defines the nature of the Erev is where they sleep, which is, of course, going to be a problem with the Gemara later, according to which Rav holds where you eat is definitive. And therefore, the din over here would be, lefichach, im shachach echad mihem velo yirev. So if one of them forgot to make the Erev, then he would have to be mevatel et reshuto to the rest of the family. But when is this true, that we consider them all to be separate homes? This is only where, bizman shmo lichin eruvan b'makom acher. That's where then how it's going to come out later on, the way Rav understands this. We're talking about that they bring their Erev, meaning they have to be Ma'ariv with other people in the Chatzar. So one of the approaches to the Mishnah is that since, that's called Migo, since the other people in the Chatzar would need a Erev Beinehem, then and only then we view these people as being separate. But in the event that there wouldn't be other people in the Chatzar, then they would not need to have an Erev Beinehem, and then they would not actually have a problem of requiring Bittul if one forgot. Now, that's one approach. The other approach is that we use these words the way we generally use these words. If they were going to bring their Erev to another Chatzar, then the din would be that they each have to be Ma'arev. But if the other chotzer is bringing their Erev into them, Yimayayruv ba'atzlam, or if there were no other diurim in the chotzer at all, there would be no need for an Erev. And that last piece indeed confirmed the first approach, that the difference is, are there other people in the chotzer? And if there are and they require an Erev, if nonetheless the people in the chotzer are going to bring in their Erev into these people, then it would be sufficient for them to all have the single Erev with the father. But again, the Gemara asks, Shma mina makom lina gore? But this seems to be very clearly saying that even though they eat together with the parental home, but since they sleep in different homes, they need to have an Erev. That's the simple take on the Mishnah. And yet Rav later on seems to ignore this completely, and he says, makom pita gore. And the only thing that's important is where you eat. How do you explain that? Rav, it doesn't mean that they eat at the parental home. It means that they figuratively and metaphorically are eating off of their father's table, which simply means that their father is providing support for them. It doesn't mean that they're physically at his table. So therefore, what we're saying is that since they all have separate homes, each one of them, unless they're the only people that are there at all, that each one of them is going to require an Erev. But if there's other people in the Erev, if there's no other people in the Erev, so then Enochinami, it would be considered to be one big happy family. And that's called Mikabli Pras. These people are being supported by, but are not actually eating there. Tana Rabbanan, Mishi Yeshlo Beit Sha'ar Achsadro Umir Peset, Pechatzar Chaviro, Areze Eino Oser Alav. So suppose somebody essentially, he doesn't live in this chotzer, but there's a house, and this house has like a gate, and there's a shomer that lives in the gate, and the owner actually gave an Erev, is the case as Tosis explains. So if there's like a little room in the gatehouse where the shomer is able to stay over, that's not considered to be a separate home, and he doesn't have to put a separate Erev in there. The same thing is true as if he's got like a little portico or he's got a porch, but he doesn't live there. That's the chotzer chavero. So it extends into the other guy's chotzer, and he can get into there, and he has rights to get into there, but he doesn't live there. So then it's not considered to asra on the other people. But on the other hand, according to the Tanakhama, if there's a garage with storage, so let's say he's got a place to keep his grains, he's got a silo there, or he's got a barn in there, or he's got a place to store his wood in the garage, or beta otzarot in general, keeps his food in there, his barrels of wine or whatever, then according to the Tanakhama, he would aser, even though he doesn't live there. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that in the deed we paskin, eno oser lamokam dira bilvat. It's only the place where you live that's going to aser. And, says Rabbi Yehuda, you know, this was a story by Ben Nafcha. He had five separate chatzeros in Usha, and he maintained things in every one of these chatzeros. But the fact is that he wanted to know whether he needed to actually make an Erev in every one. And the Chachomim said, no, he only has to worry about the place which is the Beit Dira. What do you mean, Beit Dira? They're all Beit Dira. No, not Beit Dira. Elaim Makom Dira. The place where he's actually living. That's the only thing you have to worry about. Now the question is, what defines the place where you are living? Okay, now that ends our missing piece from yesterday. Thanks to Yehuda Kramer for pointing out that I had promised Richie beginning, and we didn't do it. So this is the Richie beginning, and Benny's going to prepend this to yesterday's daf, cutting out that whole first piece where I basically said all this baal peh, because I sort of remember that it wasn't clear that we had learned it. Anyway, good. So now we'll be able to have that. Now let's move on. So yesterday we did the daf about the my makom. I will. My makom dira. And we did from that daf, from the beginning over here on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, and we went ahead all the way to Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. So we went through the whole machlokas about what is considered to be the Mokum Dira, and we talked about the differences between Rav and Shmuel, and the question about what the interrelationship is between the Eruv in the Chotzer and the houses that the chatzeros that are open up to the mavui, and where you can rely on one and where you can't. And the last thing that we had yesterday is that according to Rav, we were trying to figure out why Rav and Rav Kahana left out the words in the Mishnah that they were p'tuchim mizeh lezeh. He said if you have five chatzerot p'tuchim mizeh lezeh, even though they were also p'tuach l'mavui, then we wouldn't have been able to say the Mishnah to talk about having made an Erev Beinayim and also having made a Sheet of Bumov. And we couldn't figure out why would that be. So one approach that we tried yesterday was Rabbi Yosef's approach, according to which Rav holds you can only make a Sheet of in the Mavui where you actually walk in and out from the Chatzeres into the Mavui to bring the things together. And then you walk into one of the Chatzeres in order to deposit it in one of the chatzeres, which seemed very far-fetched. And we understood that what Rav was saying was a gezerah. Woo! A gezerah that even if you have doors between your various chatzeres, I'm very nervous that you're going to bring in the shitav through the doors. You're not going to go through the mavui, and that's not the takana. Wow. Anyway, we showed that that's ridiculous. There's no such halacha. And the last thing we learned yesterday was that if people are just sitting around and eating and all of a sudden they realize, oh my God, it's only 2 minutes to Shkia, what are we going to do? that they can rely on the food that's on their picnic table. If they're out, if they're in a chutzner, they can rely on the food on the picnic table to be, if all of the different people are eating together, to be their sheet of mavot. Now, nobody brought it in and out and did the little dance between the chutzner and the chatzeres and the mavli. Obviously, in that case, they were caught unawares. So obviously that approach was wrong. And the last thing that we said, so what then is the correct approach? Must be that Rav holds that you cannot have a mavoi with a shituf unless you have two chatzerot, and each one of those chatzerot has two batim. And since over here you made all of the chatzerot one by making an Erev between them, so then you couldn't possibly have had a Lechi v'Korah in your Mavli. And we have to assume that we're talking about you have a Lechi and a Korah, and we're relying on that Lechi v'Korah. So then if that's the case, we even make a Gezerah, that even if you could have made an Erev through your Chatzer, since that would have destroyed your ability to be metaltal in the Mavli, because now what we thought was a chutzner with separate homes is not a chutzner with separate homes. What we thought was a Mavli with separate chatzeros is not a Mavli with separate chatzeros. They're all one big happy family, so how can we make a sheet of mavos? And therefore, we don't say in the Mishnah, p'tuchot mizulazu, because if they were, we would have to be geyser. Maybe you would make all the chatzeres one, and then you wouldn't be able to carry in the mavli. A remarkable assumption. And as I'll point out in a moment, it leads us to all kinds of crazy problems, and we're going to examine it.